Shortly after his address on the Yalta conference, the president went down to his beloved Warm Springs, Georgia home for a much-needed rest. There, he prepared for the opening of the San Francisco conference, which was to create, so he hoped, a new world order. And there, he penned an address to be delivered on Jefferson Day, the 13th of April. On the afternoon of the 12th, he suffered a massive stroke and died. This last writing summed up much of his life and faith. We hear it now, read by Franklin Delano Roosevelt, Jr.
Americans are gathered together this evening in communities all over the country to pay tribute to the living memory of Thomas Jefferson, one of the greatest of all Democrats. And I want to make it clear that I am spelling that word Democrats with a small D. I wish I had the power, just for this evening, to be present at all these gatherings. In this historic year, more than ever before, we do well to consider the character of Thomas Jefferson as an American citizen of the world. As minister to France, then as our first Secretary of State, and as our third president, Jefferson was instrumental in the establishment of the United States as a vital factor in international affairs. Today, this nation, which Jefferson helped so greatly to build, is playing a tremendous part in the battle for the rights of man all over the world. Today, we are part of the vast Allied force, a force composed of flesh and blood and steel and spirit, which is today destroying the makers of war, the breeders of hate in Europe and in Asia. We as Americans do not choose to deny our responsibility, nor do we intend to abandon our determination that within the lives of our children and our children's children, there will not be a third world war. We seek peace, enduring peace. More than an end to war, we want an end to the beginnings of all wars. Yes, an end to this brutal, inhuman, and thoroughly impractical method of settling the differences between governments. The once powerful, malignant Nazi state is crumbling. The Japanese warlords are receiving in their homeland the retribution for which they asked when they attacked Pearl Harbor. But the mere conquest of our enemies is not enough. We must go on to do all in our power to conquer the doubts and the fears, the ignorance and the greed which made this horror possible. Thomas Jefferson, himself a distinguished scientist, once spoke of the brotherly spirit of science, which unites into one family all its votaries of whatever grade, and however widely dispersed throughout the different quarters of the globe. Today, science has brought all the different quarters of the globe so close together that it is impossible to isolate them from one another. Today, we are faced with the preeminent fact that if civilization is to survive, we must cultivate the science of human relationships, the ability of all peoples, of all kinds, to live together and work together in the same world at peace. Let me assure you that my hand is the steadier for the work that is to be done, that I move more firmly into the task, knowing that you, millions and millions of you, are joined with me in the resolve to make this work endure. The work, my friends, is peace, more than an end of this war. An end to the beginning of all wars, yes, an end forever to this impractical, unrealistic settlement of the differences between governments by the mass killing of peoples. Today, as we move against the terrible scourge of war, as we go forward toward the greatest contribution that any generation of human beings can make in this world, the contribution of lasting peace, I ask you to keep up your faith. I measure the sound, solid achievement that can be made at this time by the straight edge of your own confidence and your own resolve. And to you, and to all Americans who dedicate themselves with us to the making of an abiding peace, I say, the only limit to our realization of tomorrow will be our doubts of today. Let us move forward with strong and active faith.